ברוכים הבאים, ladies, ותזכו לשנים רבות, נעימות וטובות. We are studying today's class in memory of Yaakov ben Roza, Mr. Jack S's, עליו השלום. לעילוי נשמת שלמה בן אסתר, Mr. Saul Towel, עליו השלום, and Adina Zakiya Bat Esther. This is Jackie S's, עליה השלום. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, ותהי נשמתם צרורות בצרור החיים. אמן. The family very generously has donated a small seudah with berachot. So please, on the way out, if you make your way to the back, you'll see some tables set up to make the berachot for these deceased to school in mitzvot. Today's shiur is being studied Refuat Shilema Aharon Ben Esther and Lydia Bat Alvira. Evna Refana Lahem Refuat HaNefesh Refuat HaGuf רפואתם קרבה לבוא וכן ירסו ונאמר אמן. הריה שאג, מי לא יירא. The pasuk says that when a lion roars, מי לא יירא, who is not afraid. החכמים tell us that the word אריה is ראשי תיבות אלול, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hoshana Rabbah, Aryeh. When these awesome days come close, Mi lo yira, who is not fearful and afraid. We are now about to enter the mouth of the lion in Yom HaKippurim. Aryeh She'ag, Mi lo yira. The holiday begins with the most solemn moment, the Kal Nidre. Everybody makes it their business to be in the synagogue for Kal Nidre. Out of all the things that are sold during the high holidays, the Kal Nidre is the most coveted honor. To hold the Sefer Torah at this most auspicious moment. Even the secular Jews who don't understand what Kippur is, but they know Kal Nidre. What makes this moment so special? After all, what it is asking God for forgiveness. It's a confession. If maybe we swore on God's name, if we swore falsely, Kal Nidre, Ushevu'e, Veneduye, these are all forms of swears. So if somebody made a Shevu'at Sheker, he asks for forgiveness at that moment. But what makes it so solemn and so serious? Just because we're asking God forgiveness for a Shavu'ah? Why is this the opening of the Yom Kippur service? There's 613 mitzvot that we have to ask God forgiveness for. This is just one of many. What makes this moment so special? And even the tune of the Kal Nidre is a very morbid tune. Kal Nidre. It's a tune that belongs on Tisha B'Av. Now don't get me wrong. Swearing falsely is a big sin. The Gemara says when God gave the commandment not to swear falsely, the whole world shook. And all sins God forgives easily. But when it comes to the sin of swearing falsely, it says, Ki lo yinakeh. God will not exonerate et asher yisa et shemo lashav, to those that say his name in vain. So I'm not underestimating the sin of swearing falsely. But why does that become the holiest moment of the year? When we confess for Nidre and Shivu'e and Kunnameh and Kunnaheh and Kunnaseh, which are all different variations of swearings. If this was a history class, I would give you a historical perspective of the Kanidre. The Jews in Spain lived under great persecution, and many of them were forced to accept upon themselves a vow to Christianity. Many of the Jews at that time did not make that vow, and they gave their lives for God. They had the courage to die al Kiddush Hashem instead of accepting Christianity upon themselves. But there were many Jews that did not have the bravery or the courage to die, so they accepted this vow upon themselves. These Jews opted to join Christianity instead of being persecuted by the Inquisition. They later became known as the Maranos. Jews that acted like goyim on the outside, like good Christians, but on the inside they acted very Jewish. They had to hide their Judaism. And once a year the Maranos would get together in their basements, clandestinely in hiding, to pray the service of Yom Kippur. And at that moment, they ask God for forgiveness for the vow that they made towards Christianity. It was a very solemn moment for them, because now they're going to enter the holiest day of the year, and they felt guilty. How did they accept upon themselves this vow? But it was under duress, it was under stress, it was under circumstances. So therefore, they would sing the song in a very morbid tune. This is the way the Kanidre was done in Spain 500-600 years ago. Now we understand why it was so solemn. That was the moment they were asking God to be absolved for their vow to Christianity. But that doesn't help us. None of us have taken such vows. None of us even swear. We were taught from a young age, you don't swear. Even Jews, when they're in a court of law, they can only affirm or attest. But we don't swear, and certainly not on God's name. We don't promise. So for us, what's the significance that we're coming to ask God, forgive us for the swears that we made? We made no swears. You think about it, from last Kippur to this Kippur, nobody swore on anything, to anyone, on anything. And this is the item that we begin with. I would have chosen Shemirat Shabbat. Certainly our Shabbat needs enhancing. Our kashrut, our family purity, our modesty, these are mitzvot that need working on. But shivua, swearing. So I'm going to tell you something today that you don't know about yourselves. It's an amazing thing, however old you are, however young you are, unless you come to class, you don't know who you are, and you don't know about yourselves. I'm going to reveal something. It's a big revelation. The Gemara in Nida on Daf Lamed tells us about life in the womb when you were in your mother's womb. The Gemara first tells us, "Vener daluklo al rosho." In the mother's womb, the child has a light on top of his or her head. Umabit misof haolam ve'ad sofo, and the child has tremendous vision with this light. It can see from one end of the world to the other. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Iyov. Behilo nero ale imo wa ale roshi. Behilo, it calls the light behilo. That's maybe why the Goyim referred to the light as a halo. Behilo. Maybe you heard once that they say a lady that's expecting has a certain glow. This glow is from this light that the Gemara is talking about, that's inside of her. The lady radiates when she's expecting. And then the Gemara says, when the baby is about to come out into this world, ve'eno yotze misham, as it's coming through the canal, ad shemashvi'im oto, they make the child make a shivu'ah, a swear. And what's the swear? Umahi hashivu'ah shemashvi'in oto, tehe tzaddik ve'al tehi rasha. At that moment they warn every child, you're going into this world, swear to us, to the Bedin, to God, that you're going to be a tzaddik. I know none of you remember you ever making such a commitment. But the Gemara is saying it happened. Ne'emanim aleinu devrei Gemara. If Chazal are telling us that this is something that happened to you, we have to trust them. You gave God your word in the Shavuah that you're going to be a tzaddik. And you're not going to be a rasha. And then God says, Ve'eve yodeya, what the angel says, Shakadosh Baruch Hu tahor, your God is pure. Umsharitav tohari tehorim, and all his agents are pure. V'neshamah shenatan becha tehorahi, and the soul that God gave you is pure. Imatam meshamera betahara mutav, if you protect the soul that was given to you in purity, good. Ve'imlav areni nutlam mimecha, and if not, I'm taking it back. This is the dialogue that took place at the time you entered this world. You gave God a shivu'ah, and according to the holy books, which I'm sure you don't remember either, they brought down a Sefer Torah, and you held the Sefer Torah, and you swore on the Sefer Torah that you're going to be a tzaddik or a tzaddiket. And now the day of Yom Kippur comes, and we reflect on the last year, and we look at the roster of all the things that we did and we didn't do, and we see that we did not live up to our word. We are not the tzaddik that we promised God we will be. We are not the tzaddiket that we swore on a separate Torah that we will be. And the first business of the day of Kippur is to stand in front of God and say, Borei Olam, I'm sorry, I am in breach of contract. What shivu'e? The shivu'ah that you made when you came out of your mother's womb on that day. I gave you my word that I'll be a tzaddik, and I'm sorry I fell short of what was expected of me. This is the shivu'ah that every single Jew needs confession and repentance for. And that's why at the time of Kan Nidre we hold the Sefer Torah. Because we have to ask the Sefer Torah for forgiveness. Because we took the Sefer Torah and we held it and we said, we swear the Sefer Torah is holy. And by not keeping our word, we cheapen the Sefer Torah. We made the Sefer Torah as if it's secular. And therefore we have to ask forgiveness on the Sefer Torah. So at that moment we again go back to the womb and we hold on to the Sefer Torah. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, everybody should kiss the Sefer Torah and hug it at the time of Kan Nidre. And the woman from the ladies section also, you can blow kisses to the Sefer Torah. Because you're asking forgiveness. I'm sorry I used you as an instrument to swear falsely. And we take all the Sefarim out of the Hechal. And at that moment, we make another commitment as if we're going to be born again tonight. And we say, this year we're going to be a tzaddik. We're going to be a tzaddiket. And God says, V'nislach lechol adat b'nei Yisrael v'lager hagar b'tochechem ki lechol ha'am b'shkaga. And God says, I forgive you. And we put a reset. We start over again. Imagine that. How many years we've gone to Kan Nidre and we didn't know this? Some of you might say, why didn't they teach this to us in first grade? They should have told us this. Our Yom Kippur would be different. I have no answer for that question. You're lucky at least in whatever grade you're in now, you heard it. You're luckier than most people. In the Kan Nidre we say, V'nislach lechol adat Yisrael, and God, you've forgiven, you will forgive all of the people of Israel, V'lager hagar b'tochechem. You forgive the convert. And I am bothered. What does the convert have to do with Kan Nidre? The one that converted to Judaism, so he's a Jew like the rest of us. V'nislach lechol adat Yisrael. He's part of adat Yisrael. What do you have to single the ger? V'lager agar b'tochechem. Why does the convert have a special place at the moment of the Kan Nidre? You know what the explanation is? By mentioning the convert, it pacifies us. It gives us a certain peace of mind. Because we all have a problem. How does Teshuvah work? How can I do something? It becomes part of history. Maybe there's even a video of it. And all of a sudden I repent and it's considered as if it never happened. Can you erase history? You can regret history. You can feel bad. But can you delete it? That it never happened? How does such a thing work? So we remind ourselves of the convert. When somebody comes from a foreign religion and converts, he has a long history of goyhood. All the things he did when he was a Gentile. All the different things that the Goyim did. And on that day of conversion, it's all forgotten. Ger shenitgayer kekatan shenolad damer. A convert that converts is like he was born again. And there is no memory of any of his previous lifestyle. He's a new person. That was a goy and you're a Jew. You're not even related to your old self. You have no relatives in this world. You're born again. So we say to ourselves, if God can erase the history of a goy that acted like a goy, So certainly he can erase the history of a Jew that acted like a goy. The convert is mentioned at Kanidre to give us peace of mind that teshuvah works. That it's possible to erase the previous deeds that we have committed. On Yom Kippur, we're going to sing many beautiful songs. Songs that we look forward to all year long to sing. One of those songs is Adir v'Naor. Adir v'Naor. That's most people's favorite song of the Yom Kippur. Mi el kamocha. And one of the lines of that song, Gole amukot. Do ber tzedakot. Mi el kamocha. I came today to explain you this one line. But let this be a lesson to you. That every single line of the Mahzor of Yom Kippurim has so much depth behind it. We could talk on every line of the Mahzor. It's impossible to read and understand the Mahzor in 25 hours of Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim should be a week long. But this year we could focus on Gole Amukot Do Ber Tzedakot. What does it mean, Gole Amukot? God reveals the depths. Something that's amok is deep. Gole Amukot. God reveals the depths. We have a saying in the Gemara. Yisrael, afal pi shechata, Yisrael. A Jew, even though he sins, he's still Jewish. You can't renounce your Jewishhood. As the saying goes, a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. Even if you say, I unsubscribed, I'm not part of it anymore, I defected, I'm on a different team, you're still Jewish. You can't, even if you'll act not Jewish and you'll follow non-Jewish practice, we're sorry to tell you, you're still Jewish. Nothing can cause a Jew to abdicate his Jewishness. Yisrael afal pi shechata, Yisrael hu. You know why? Because even the worst of the Jews, and even those rebels and those renegades, in the depth of their soul, there's a spark of holiness. And that spark can never be extinguished. And even the Jews that we think can never return to God, that spark eventually, if it's cultivated, it can burst into a big flame and the person can make the teshuvah. Nobody is written off. Nobody is too far where we say there's no point, there's a point of no return. Every Jew is good. The good Jews are good, and even the Jews that are not so good, they're also good. They just don't know how good they are. Every Jew in the depthness of his heart wants to serve God. And every Jew knows that he made this commitment to be a tzaddik. And nobody wants to go back on their word. Every person by nature wants to keep their word. Nobody wants to be a liar. So in the depth of our heart of hearts, every Jew wants to be observant. And every Jew wants to do the right thing. But we have a lot of interference. We have a lot of distractions. We have an evil inclination. The Gemara says that at the time of sin, it's like a temporary insanity. But in truth, everybody wants to be good. There's no such thing as bad Jews. We don't see it. But God is gole amukot. On Yom Kippur, when the prosecuting angels come to God and say, they're bad, they're no good, look at all the sins they commit, there's no modesty and there's no Shabbat and there's no Kashrut and look what's happening to our people. And the prosecuting angels bring proof. Look at the video, look at this one over here, look at that one over there. And it's incriminating evidence, it's evidence that you cannot deny. But at that moment, Borei Olam is gole amukot. He shows and reveals the essence of the Jew, and he shows the angels, don't prosecute against my people, you only see the superficial. But deep, deep, deep down in the recesses of every Jewish soul, there's a spark of goodness. And God is patient. And you just have to tickle that spark, and you just have to hit it at the right spot, and like a pilot light on an oven, boom, it explodes. On Yom Kippur, God is gole amukot. God reveals the goodness of all of us. There's an amazing halakha in the Rambam. Rabbi struggled to understand it. The Beit Din makes a ruling. Mr. So-and-so, you have to give your wife a get. A divorce. He says, I don't want to. What do you mean you don't want to? The Beit Din says you have to give a get. I'm not giving a get. Halakha says a man has to give his wife a get willingly. It cannot be by force. I'm not giving it. You can't force me to give it. So the halakha says, kofin oto. They take out a baseball bat and they start beating him up. Ad she'omer rotze ani. Until he says, okay, I'll give the gift. And all of a sudden he says, rotze ani. The rabbi says, oh, you see, he wants. He wants. They all ask an Harambam, that's wanting? That's wanting? He doesn't want to get pelted. He doesn't want to have any more bruises. What kind of tzeani is that? I want. He doesn't want. For fear of his life, he's giving a get. This is considered acquiescing. This is considered giving a get willingly. You know what that Rambam explains? In the depth of every Jewish soul, the Jewish soul wants to do the right thing. Every Jew in his heart wants to fulfill Rotze Ani. He wants to fulfill. But what? There's interference in the way, Yetzer Hara, the physical body. So even though in the conscience of the person he's saying, I don't want, but subconsciously he really wants, but he doesn't know it yet. So we have to beat him up to get to that root. To push away all the cobwebs and all the things that are interfering with his true self. So when he finally says, I want, he wants. That's his true self talking. And that's what God says to us on Yom Kippur. Gole amukot. God says, you're good. Don't say you're bad. You're not bad. I am revealing that spark on Yom Kippur. But there's a price for this. What do I mean to say? You have to be very careful on Yom Kippurim, especially not to speak Lashon Hara. Some people on Yom Kippur, they fulfill Ta'anit Dibur. They don't speak the entire day. I don't know if I recommend that for the women that have children, to punish your children not to talk to them for a full day. If you made sins, what did your poor children do? Why should they be denied a mother on Yom Kippur that not talking to them? But there's something to think about. People, they don't speak. Why? Because what happens when we speak Lashon Hara, what are we speaking? We're speaking derogatorily about another Jew. At the same time that God is fighting off the prosecuting angels, and God is telling the angels, my people are good, Golei Amukot, and then He hears us talking bad about another Jew, God says, how can I fight the prosecuting angels by saying you're good if you don't believe that Jews are good? And therefore by speaking Lashon Hara on Kippur, it breaks the judgment for us. On Yom Kippur, if we speak, only have to speak good. Because if we see the bad in people, then how could God be Golei Amukot? How could God reveal the goodness if we don't believe in it? And that's why we say, Golei Amukot, yes, but it's conditional, Dober Tzedakot. We have to speak Tzedakot, we have to speak good about Jews. If we're Dober Tzedakot, then God is Golei Amukot. If we see the good in others, then Borei Olam will see the good in us, and He fights off the Malachim. But I'll tell you even more. Bar Minan, when the angel of prosecution comes in front of God on Yom Kippur and he says the Jew is bad, you know what God answers him? You're only one witness. In Beit Din you need two witnesses. Take a walk. Inadmissible evidence. One witness is not enough. But when a Jew speaks Lashon Hara on Kippur, that's the second witness. So Chas v'Shalom, Lashon Hara all year long is damaging, but on Kippur day, just a slip of the tongue, that can cause the second hand to ruin the person's year. The angel says, what do you mean? There's somebody else that agrees with me. The guy over there in the shul just talking about it. Bring him up. Now you have two edim. If you want God to be Golei Amukot, to reveal our goodness, we must be Dober Tzedakot. We must speak only good things about people. This year is an amazing year. The fact that Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbat, ho ho, it has to be important. There's no fast that we commemorate on Shabbat. Every fast on Shabbat we push away. Kippur, we say no, Kippur goes on Shabbat. The Gemara says if the Jewish people would keep two Shabbatot, Mashiach would come. I know you're saying it never happened. How are we going to keep two Shabbatot? How are we going to keep two Shabbatot? If we could go 10 minutes in Shemirat Shabbat, you're telling me two Shabbatot? So one rabbi explained, you know what two Shabbatot means? When the Torah talks about Shabbat, it says, B'shamru b'nei sada Shabbat. When the Torah talks about Kippur, the Torah calls Kippur Shabbat Shabbaton. Shabbat is Shabbat, and Kippur is double Shabbat. What the Gemara means, whoever keeps two Shabbatot, it means whoever keeps Kippur, which is Shabbat Shabbaton. If we just follow Yom Kippur, Mashiach will come. That means every Yom Kippur is a moment of redemption. It's a moment of Geulah. If we just get through the day, and Baruch Hashem, most people are in Shul on Kippur. We're doing mostly what we're supposed to do. In Malay, Shamru ben Eisel, Shne Shabbatot, Miyad Hende Galim. But now listen to what I'm going to tell you. The Shabbat of Yom Kippur, it comes out, is really three Shabbatot. It's the regular Shabbat plus Shabbat Shabbaton. Three Shabbats all in one day. You know what this means? I'll explain to you what it means. There's a certain, how shall I say it? There's a certain powers of destruction in the world. It's called Harun Af. Harun Af is the anger of God. And when God unleashes upon His anger, that's why we say every night in Arbit, Ve'urahum yikapir avon. Please God, bring back your anger. Don't let your anger come down to the world. Because if that af is let loose, it brings hashata, it brings destruction. We ask God to pull it back. Guess what? Shabbat, the numerical value of Shabbat is 702, for your information. It's important that you know this. In 702, how many times do you have Yudke Vavke, God's name, in 702? God's name is Yudke Vavke, is 26. How many 26s do you have in 702? I don't expect you to know this off the bat. Actually, there's 27. 27 times 26 equals 702. This year, Be'ezat Hashem, ladies, maybe you'll bring a calculator to the shi'ur, in order that you have an easier time to follow these concepts. If I didn't think it was important, I wouldn't waste your time with these things. You understand what that means? Whenever we come to Shabbat, we're entering 27 Yudke Vavkes. Imagine I build a house with bricks, and each brick is Yudke Vavke. One brick, two brick, three brick, four brick, seven, 27 bricks. When you enter Shabbat, you're entering a house that has 27 Havayaz. Could you believe what a Shabbat is? Even if you have one Yudke Vavke, but you have 27 of them in Shabbat. But on Yom Kippur, that falls out on Shabbat, it's three Shabbats. It's 27 plus 27 plus 27. Which is 81. When we have Kippur on Shabbat, we are entering 81 Yudke Vavkes. Guess what? That power of evil is called Af. Aleph Peh. Aleph Peh is 81. The holy books write that we have good news that when Kippur falls out on Shabbat, the 81 Shemot of Yudke Vavke, 27 times 3, neutralizes Harun Af. We have to be thrilled that we have a zechut to celebrate a Kippur on Shabbat. It's such an opportunity that gets rid of the worst wrath of God's judgment. V'hirba l'hashib apo. The half of 81 is neutralized in the Shabbat, 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 the triple Shabbaton. I must leave you with one story. Seder Mitteshuvah is a very busy time. Every moment of the Seder Mitteshuvah is precious. My friends and I used to have a custom, we used to visit one of the big tzaddikim of the generation, Rav Chaim Brim, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. We used to visit him every year during this time, and he always would tell us the same thing. Boys, 1 second of Asirat Yemei Teshuvah is worth days and weeks of the regular year. What takes a week to do during the regular year, in a second of Asirat Yemei Teshuvah you can accomplish. It's a very big acceleration. You can grow tremendously during these times. So every second is precious. But I want to tell you a story from the Gemara, and we'll conclude. Just to show you how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make Teshuvah. And He loves all of us. And no matter what you did, and no matter how many times you did it, and no matter how many times you asked for forgiveness, Hashem still loves you, and Hashem still wants you back. He never writes off a Jew. God never says, ah, this one passed, forget it, it's over. Never. There was a fellow called Elazar ben Durdaya. Some of you may know the story. How am I going to tell this to you? Elazar ben Durdaya was a man that was addicted to lust and passion. You heard of Tiger Woods? Just to give you an understanding without having to say too much. Elazar ben Durdaya all day long was going with things that he's not supposed to do. He spent his money and his energy. In our terminology, we would call him a degenerate. He was a lowlife. This is what he does all day long, zonot. Whole life like this. One time he heard about a certain pleasure that he can only seek on a certain island that's far away. And he traveled seven seas with a lot of money. And he got to the house of ill repute and he had an appointment. He's consumed with this avon. He comes into the place and he puts the money down. And then something very, very odd happens. The words come out of this Zona's mouth. She says, just like the wind is not going to return to its original place, so too Elazar ben Durdaya will never return to God. I don't know what made this Zona all of a sudden turn into the Rosh Hashiva. She turned into a mashgiach of a yeshiva. All of a sudden she's becoming a preacher. She's giving an ethical teaching. Who asked her to be a philosopher? He didn't come here to hear philosophy, that's for sure not. And all of a sudden she starts philosophizing. The wind will never return. Elazar ben Durdaya will never return. Now I would expect Elazar ben Durdaya to say, listen, I'm not paying you for derashot. I didn't come here for Musar. He doesn't say that. The Gemara says when he heard it, it entered his heart like the venom of a poisonous snake. It went into his heart and he said, what? Did you just hear this? I am not going to return. I cannot return. He took his bag of money. He took his bag, got dressed, and he walks out. And he starts a process of an amazing road back to Teshuvah. And it was so intense, his remorse and his regret, that he died making Teshuvah. We can understand that. As hard as you're going to bang on your chest, you're still alive. But he made such a Teshuvah that he used his last ounce of energy. He realized his life was a mistake. He realized that he was a lowlife and a degenerate and a pervert. And at that moment, that word of the Zona went into him. It's almost as if she found that spot. Gole Amukot. She found that goodness, that little spark that was inside of him. And like a bellows, she fanned it. And all of a sudden, He's reborn. He dies in Teshuvah, and all of a sudden there's a heavenly voice that comes out and says, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, Mizuman lechaye olam haba. Not only did they say that he's going to olam haba, but they call him Rabbi. He got semicha. He went from being the worst rasha. Now already he's a rabbi. What kind of rabbi is he? What kind of Torah can he teach us? He's the rabbi of Teshuvah, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. That's the rabbi of Teshuvah. But you know what I'm amazed of this story? We could talk on this story for 122 hours. But one point I make on this story. Really? Who put those words in the Zona's mouth? What? Zona says such a thing. It doesn't make any sense you should say such a thing. You know what the explanation is? God put those words in her mouth. Why did he put those words in her mouth? Because Elazar ben Dordaya, as low as he was, God said, I have to bring him back. And I'll do anything to bring back even the lowest of my children. And you know what it means? That God had to go into the house of, forgive me, of ill repute. He had to go in there. Because that's the only place that he goes. How am I going to bring him back? Is it kavod for God to go to such a dirty place? Is it kavod for... But a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't care about my kavod, I don't care about my respect. Even if I have to put my holiness into that place to get the Zonah to say, sir, I'll do it. Just to get him back. Now God, Elazar ben Azariah, doesn't have to react, but God gave him a chance. And he took the opportunity and he heard the Musar. None of us are as bad as Elazar ben Dordaya. I once heard an explanation. His name tells his whole story. You know what the word Dordaya means? We just had it in the Gemara. For any of you that are doing Daf Yomi, we did it in the Gemara. It says Dordaya is the sediments of the wine. The bottom of the barrel is Dordaya. That's who he was. He was Ben Dordaya. He was the lowest of the low. He was the bottom of the barrel, the sediments, the insignificance. But you know what his first name is? El Azar. God helped him. God helped him. And where did he help him? El Azar Ben Dordaya. While he was in the Dordaya, while he was in the depths of sin. El Azar ben Dordaya, when he's about to commit a sin of the worst of all, God helped him at that moment. To show you God never writes off any of his children, that's the Golei Amukot. Because God knows every Jew is good. We don't think we're good, but God knows we're really good. Could you imagine if you would go interview Ba'alei Teshuvah, people that made Teshuvah, and you ask them, what was your turning point? Somebody will say, I read a book written by a big rabbi. Oh, this book changed my life. Many people tell me they read the Me'am Lo'ez. And they read the Me'am Lo'ez in English and Spanish, whatever language it was, and the Me'am Lo'ez changed their life. This brought them back to religion. Other people will say, I heard a speech in the shul. The rabbi said a certain example, it came into my head, and I was never the same. Somebody will say, a friend gave me a CD, and I listened to it, my turning point. And if you go ask Elazar ben Dordaya, what was your turning point? He says, I went to the house of Zonot, and there was a Zonah over there, and what a Musar she... That's where you got the turning point. You became Ben Dordaya at the bottom of the barrel. El Azar. And God helps us as well. let us enter the lion's mouth. Yeshahag mi lo yira, we enter the lion's mouth. Let us stand in front of God in Kalnidre. And let us ask Him for forgiveness for the swear of Tehet Tzadik. And then let us recommit ourselves. At the end of Kippur, we're going to tell God, okay, take two. Karati v'chol lev aneni Adonai chukecha esora. God, I called out to you with all my heart. Aneni Hashem, please answer me. And I'm making a new commitment to you today. Chukecha esora, I will keep your laws. And God says, good. And the angels say, but they're not good. God's gole amukot. God tells the malachim, you don't see what I see. I'm able to see the depth of the soul, that even a guy as low as Elazar ben Durdaya is this close of making teshubah. Just he has to hear one word of Musar, and all of a sudden, he's reborn. V'nislach lechol adat b'nei Yisrael v'lager. We're reminded that God erases the whole history of a ger. And certainly He erases the history of a Jew that repents. Yom Kippur is a happy day. Especially when it comes out on Shabbat Kodesh. We should be excited. God should give us life that we should enter this day. We should enter it in peace and leave it in peace. I'm not going to wish you an easy fast. I don't know where that phrase came from, an easy fast. The Torah says you have to suffer. People say easy fast. Now people say meaningful fast. But who said you have to say anything? Who said you have to say anything when it comes to a fast? You just have to fast. You don't have to wish me anything about a fast. We say, Teshkul Yishrim Rabot, Teshana Tova. You fast your fast, whether it's meaningful or not meaningful, there's no salutation for that. But I will bid you, Be'ezat Hashem, Teshkul Yishrim Rabot, and may the seal be in your favor. You should be inscribed. Ladies, you have nothing to worry about. The fact that you attend this class is such a zechut for you. It's such a big zechut. God knows more than all of us what the value of attending this shi'ud is. And He knows you don't only come during Asir Dimit Teshuvah. Most of you, if not all of you, are regulars to this shi'ud. Ashlechen v'ashlech elkechen. Your zechut is great. And for that, Borei Olam will reward you. You have kept your promise. Kan Nidre is not for you, ladies. You have kept your promise to be tzedeket in your atzat kaniyot. But for the few lapses during the year, say Kan Nidre with the kahal. Kiss the Sefer Torah, and Be'ezat Hashem, Be'erba Lashiva Po.